where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we have Jenny Murr on the show today, and she is a healer, a guide, and someone who works with both the light and the dark. And I am so blessed and honored to be able to have you here, Jenny, so that we can talk about this dark night of the soul and the power in that darkness as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It feels like a big gift to be here.
I feel like I just need to be really upfront with everyone that's listening and watching this, because anyone who's been listening for a while knows about my partner Mario and how much I talk about him and how much I love him. And two nights ago we separated, and this morning actually we went for a walk on the beach and talked about everything, and he just left and I just cried in his arms while he left. Just before I got on this podcast interview with Jenny. And then I was so blessed because Jenny was telling me how, like, she's really excited about this sort of darker, shadowier part of us and the dark night of the soul that she's been through in the last year or so. And I also know that anyone who's been listening for a while knows that my dog Claude passed away last year and my dad passed away last year. And my mentor said to me last night that my life is coming to a state of emptiness. And it sounds like Jenny's has been doing that as well. And there's such a gift in releasing all of the things that no longer serve us. And so I'm really excited. I feel like this is such divine timing to be talking about all of those things. So thank you so much, Jenny, for coming on the show to talk about it.
And I absolutely, it everything just feels perfectly set up for us. So
we're both sitting on the ground to hold us through this beautiful conversation. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So do you want to tell us a bit about your dark night of the soul? How has your last year and a bit been, and what's been going on for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it really started with a divorce. So I was married for 8 years to an incredible man, but our partnership came to a completion. It was just really clear that it was no longer time for us to be together in partnership. And we really grew through that experience of separating and of coming to that decision mutually. Mm-hmm. And then we separated and 6 months later officially divorced. And then I really set out on this experience of trying to figure out who I am on the other side of this partnership. Mm. And there was a lot that was unknown about that. And it was a little bit of a rocky period, right? Because it was a letting go of so much. And I was simultaneously somewhat resistant, because at that point I was already working in this, on the spiritual path and in this way. And you feel like I'm a coach, I'm a guide, I'm a healer, I'm supposed to have things all handled, and I'm supposed to be growing and growing and growing in the light. Mm. And that was when I got a really clear lesson from the divine feminine about what it means to actually serve the divine feminine, which I feel like she's my boss on this planet in this lifetime. I'm really in service to helping to bring that energy forward in consciousness. And the feminine is inclusive. The feminine is all of it. So the masculine is very much like the sun, right? It rises every morning and sets every night. There's a predictability to it, somewhat of a linear quality. The feminine is like the moon. It waxes and wanes. It grows light and then it goes dark. And so that really is the cycle of life. It is life and then death and then rebirth over and over. And the feminine is comfortable in all of that, right? The feminine is comfortable with the entire cycle of everything. The planet goes through this every year. There's a season of spring. There's a season of summer. There's a season of fall and releasing. And then there's a season of dark in the winter when things are happening underground and it can feel cold and it can feel bleak and it can feel quiet. But that death is necessary for us to have the fallow ground to really be creating. And that's the feminine gift, right? Is creation, expansion, not just the same every day. The feminine is responsible for pushing the boundary, expanding, growing. And we can't really do that without dying to what's no longer alive in us. And so to really be a servant of the feminine, I think we're required to learn that all of life is sacred and that we can hold our center through all of that experience, not just the light, but also the dark. And that it's not just about letting it go. And this is the lesson that took me a minute to learn, because I wanted to just let it go, let it go. We talk about that a lot in spiritual communities and in personal growth and development, right? Let go or be dragged. You need to let go of what doesn't serve. But first, you actually have to let it be. Right? You have to be with the sadness, be with the wounding, be with the pain, with the grief, with these things that we sometimes deem less desirable on the emotional spectrum, because you can't actually force yourself to let it go. It's there to teach you something. Every single one of your emotions has wisdom for you. So if you just try and skate past the dark side of things, it comes back with a vengeance in another form.
Yeah, thank you. That's so poignant, because just yesterday I realized that I've been really afraid to feel how sad I was. And I'd cried, but every time I cried, I'd like pick up the phone to my mom, or when my partner was still living with me, that like I would want to talk to him about it. And I realized that I actually went almost into a state of panic, because in my last separation, I didn't know who I was then. And it threw me for like a year and a half. I reckon for 3 months, I cried every day. And journaled and cried and journaled and cried, and I had no idea who I was without him. And so there was such a fear of, if I go into this grief, if I go into this sadness, I might never come back out. And when I went into it, like once I'd realized that, and when I went into it, it was like, oh, whew, okay. And like it's come up again, but that fear means that you don't go into it, which means that you don't hear the lesson and you don't get what you need out of that. And then it kind of sticks around and is this like persistent child, like, listen to me, let me in.
Right. And so my version of that was, I let go of a lot of things, right? The marriage and all of that. And I learned a lot in the process, but then I kind of went into avoidance of what really needed to happen. And I'm really good at tricking myself. So I was like, oh, I did the things, you know, I let stuff go. I did so good at that. And now I'm like learning and growing and expanding. But really I was doing a lot of running. And life, the goddess, whoever, it sort of felt like I got grounded and sent to my room, because after a few months of running, I sustained a really serious physical injury, and I'm a really active person. So that's the way that I keep my sanity. I move a lot, and it's the way I clear energy from my body. And if I ever need to I'm a dancer. If I ever need to shake things loose, that's how I work it through. And I was skiing, and I had a silly little fall, but the silly little fall resulted in a pretty serious knee injury where I tore my ACL. I had to have surgery, and I had to be really limited in my action for about 6 months, which was very challenging for me. And so that required me to actually sit still and to be with the pain and to be with the grief that I actually really hadn't fully processed yet, because I was telling myself the story that I had, but really I was just doing a pretty good job of running and pretending like I had done the work. And so I saw the remnants of stuff that I still needed to process and I still needed to grieve. And it felt like one hard thing after another had been happening in the past year. And I was pretty bummed about it and threw a tantrum a little bit at first, right? And went kind of unconscious, checked out, you know, did my way of checking out. And then I finally just said, okay, I'm just going to be like, I'm here to learn, and kind of put my forehead to the floor and said, okay, I'm here to learn about sadness. I'm here to learn about grief. I'm here to learn about what parts in me are asking to be seen and healed and dealt with so that I might move into this next iteration and be more who I am, more liberated, more free. Yeah, but it can feel a little like dissolving. You can feel like you lose who you are, like you're not quite sure what's up or down and where you're going and why. And you try to create and nothing will come out. And, you know, and you just are being asked to be with it. That was my experience. And it's a necessary part of the process, I think.
And how do you know, this is so great because I'm in such a space of just hearing you that my questions come naturally because I just want to know the next question. So good.
Yeah.
How do you know when you're wallowing in it versus, like, I feel like with spiritual development and personal development, I can sit in my sadness and then I can choose a different thought that feels better. And then there's a part of me that's like, are you choosing a different thought to get rid of this sadness, or are you actually okay with the sadness? Like, it's like, how do you know when you're wallowing and how do you know when you're avoiding? Like, there's such a fine, beautiful, healthy balance in the middle.
Totally. So I think that, because I think spiritual bypassing is a real thing, right? Like the all love and light message is, to me, I mean, I just am, that's not where I sit in the teaching spectrum. I sit much more in the, we have things to learn from all aspects of ourselves, and we're not just love and light. We're also shadow, and we're also human, and we're also ego, and all of those things can also be lovable.
Yeah.
So the thing that I think tips me off is the first like very obvious thing is, if you are in a discomfort or in something that feels like not desirable, and there's any sort of what I think of as your tricks of checking out, meaning if you go to any of your behaviors, so we all have them, like the ways that we go, things that we do to avoid fully feeling our feelings. So they give us pleasure, but sort of in a short term hit, right? So it might be any kind of addiction, any kind of, so whether it's, you know, even if it's food, if it's shopping, if it's alcohol, if it's sex, anything that you're doing that you're like, I'm just going to move past this negative feeling by tapping into pleasure.
Yeah.
You can kind of be aware that you're bypassing. But I think the spiritual one is way trickier, right? Because you're like, I can choose a different thought. I can actually change my experience. And I will tell you, that's what I really thought I was doing for the first several months following my divorce. But then what I noticed was my life on the outside was not aligning with those thoughts, which means they weren't really real. I was trying to fabricate them, but what my soul was asking of me was to look deeper. And so in my life on the outside, even though I thought I was making these choices to be happy, to choose freedom, to travel, to like experience life in a whole different way and get to know myself, but things kept happening that were hard. You know, I got like a bazillion different speeding. It was just weird things that had never happened to me. So speeding
tickets. Slow down.
Yeah. It was like all these things. I got speeding tickets. I got like, there were just ways that things were happening that was causing me to spend money. I'm usually quite careful. And there were just like all these things that were happening that were like kind of thoughtless. And then I would be in worry about money and, you know, finances. And then I would try and launch a program and no one would sign up, which had never happened to me. So there were just all of these clues on the outside that I was being asked to be still, to be slow, to go like to go internal. And so my life on the outside was really what had me finally. And then it was I didn't listen. And so then I had an injury that really forced me to. And that's kind of how my lessons have been in this life, is I get a little stubborn. In whatever way I'm being stubborn. And then my soul is determined to get my attention. So if I don't listen to the whispers, they're going to eventually become loud enough and intense enough that I'm forced to hear them.
Oh gosh. And you know, I've felt so much resistance around all of this as well, because my intuition told me a week before we separated that that the right thing to do was to separate. And so I told my partner this, and then I realized, like, I did this whole like, oh no, it's okay, I could actually be with him, I could actually work it out, and I actually think I could, but I feel like he needed to be alone. So I feel like we're releasing each other in this process. But I said to my mentor yesterday, I'm like, I'm so angry at the divine. Like, I know it loves me, but right now I'm so angry, and I feel like it's not fair, and I feel like I didn't get a choice, and you know, just letting it all out. And she said something to me that really helped me to understand it, was that the universe, like the divine, only loves us and only wants the best for us, and our soul sometimes knows what is better. And then, like, it's like the way that I saw it yesterday was that the universe will give us whatever we want. Like, if I wanted to stay with this man and not keep growing and him not keep growing, then the universe would have just let me do that. But my soul is the one that was like, hey, no, awaken, it's okay. Is that your experience as well, that they're like, I know everything is connected, and there's another level of truth that's like, our soul is the one that's like, come on, and then the universe will just give us whatever we keep asking for?
Yeah, there's two things I want to say about what you just said. The first is, it's okay to feel anger at the divine. That was another thing that I learned in this process, because anger had not been historically an emotion that I had done really well. I was really good at taking feelings of anger and turning them inward, really swallowing them, or either transmuting them into self-loathing, which is often what happens to us as women. We don't feel comfortable expressing anger, and so it gets internalized. And so when I hurt my knee and I went to the doctor and I got this diagnosis, I had been really convincing myself that it was just a sprain. And the doctor took one look at my MRI and told me, it's bad, you know, it's bad. It's going to require quite a lot of surgery. And, you know, worst case scenario, you'll have to be on crutches for 3 months, and best case scenario, crutches for only a couple weeks, but, you know, 6 months of really limited activity. And I came home and I was in shock, and I was angry, but I wasn't really ready to fully release that. And my mom was in the room with me, and I was telling her the news, and something snapped where I lost the ability to hold it together. And I raged at God, like, and I also threw my cell phone and shattered it into like 15 pieces, which, you know, was a little bit of a problem, but I will tell you, feeling that rage and letting it move through my body, not directing it at a person, but directing it up and out, just at like the humanness of all of this and how angry we can feel, I felt immediately better. And I also felt such a clear message from the divine: I can handle your anger. It's welcome here. And if you read spiritual texts, there are so many stories of the great prophets expressing anger at God, raging at God, and reaching a beautiful turning point through releasing that emotion, letting ourselves feel that and really have it move through our bodies. So that was just the first thing to share, that as you said that, like, that's often part of the dark night of the soul or of the fertile dark, is being with your anger and realizing I'm not comfortable feeling it, and learning how to feel it on a big scale, not to point it at anyone so that it causes damage or injury to another human, because that's not actually the point, but to just feel it, right? Up and out. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, absolutely, I think our souls have the curriculum. And so it's our human selves that are a little bit resistant, but our souls, once we make the commitment to let our souls lead and let our souls be in charge, which is what, you know, we've agreed by stepping onto this path, then you're agreeing that you'll follow that curriculum, even if it feels uncomfortable to your human self in the short term or in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And God, there have been so many times when I'm like, I want to renegotiate. I want things to slow down a little. And then there are the times then when I come back to all of me and the truth of me, and I'm like, oh, okay. okay, I can do this. But yeah, but it can feel really tricky in those times. And I loved what you said about being okay to get angry at the divine, because I've said stuff and my partner's been like, don't say that. I'm like, it's okay, they can handle it. Like,
totally.
It's like an unconditional love from a parent. Like, you can be so angry at your parents and they're like, I know, I love you. Like, or maybe they yell back, but they still love you. And it's that that feeling of like questioning all of what you believe. Like, when my dog passed away in particular, I was like, I gave you my life and now you've taken like this beautiful part of my life away. And I questioned my faith then, and then I questioned my faith again in this process with my partner. And then when we question it like that, we get to also notice how much, like, it doesn't matter what we question, they're still guiding us, it's still holding us. And like the beautiful synchronicities and things that you manifest after that, it's like, it allows you, when you question your faith, it can allow you to come into an even deeper connection with the divine and an even greater faith. Did you find that as well? What happened after you got really angry? And what happened then?
Well, yeah, there were a couple different times, and I've never felt so held, I will say, as during this process. And just like you said, and even better than a parent, the divine doesn't get triggered. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not even reacting to you. It's just presence and steps in to hold you in this beautiful way. And I remember, this was part of one of my tantrums during this time. I really felt so lost and like I was dissolving, and I was resisting the dissolving, that at one point I remember saying almost threateningly, if I had the choice, I would blink myself out. I'm not going to kill myself. But if it wouldn't cause anyone any trouble or harm or sadness, and I could choose in this moment, I would choose out right now. Mm. And I heard so sweetly, like, such a clear message. You're not without that power. You are not without that power. And I just sat there. I was like, the divine does give us that power. I could choose that if I wanted. And then I heard, but if you're not going to choose, then the voice said, and the message that like kind of came through in the words / feeling, you're not without that power. So knowing that, why not try to have everything you've ever wanted first? And I just started crying, and I was like, why not? Indeed. Okay. Might as well. Screw it. Let's just try and have everything I want. But it was the perfect way to meet me in that moment, because it wasn't like you're bad or wrong for wanting to choose that. It was absolutely, as a human, that's part of the deal. You could choose that. And also you could choose something entirely different, which is to completely, you know, if it's all like whatever anyway, might as well just be fearlessly who you are, fearlessly devoted to your desires, and see what happens.
I am so beyond grateful for you saying that, Jenny, because it's like, it's totally something I've felt before. And I think so many people probably don't talk about. I've got a friend who's like really empathic as well. And I've been like, I just want to go home. I'm so
homesick. Yeah. We get homesick. We do.
Yeah. Like, especially there are many of us that don't remember, and that's our job, I guess, to hopefully be the beacon so that more people can remember. But when you remember, it can be painful, and it feels heavy and dense here, and sometimes. And I'm really grateful that you shared that, because I feel like so many of the listeners have probably felt that as well. Like, I'm not going to commit suicide, but like, if I had the choice, I wouldn't choose to feel this. And then we realize that we do have the choice, and we are choosing. And that's like, there's power in that. I think every time that we feel like somebody else is making the choice, or even the divine is making the choice, or they like put us here or whatever, it feels disempowering. And when we realize that we do always have a choice, mm-hmm. then we realize that we are obviously choosing that situation. And then there's the opportunity to choose the next situation or choose to learn from that situation or whatever it is. It takes the power back as soon as you realize you do have that choice, which is really powerful. Thank you mm-hmm. for sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. And yeah, so all of that, that's what I mean when I say the feminine is inclusive. It's been a little bit taboo to talk about the depth of the way that we can feel things. And I think that that's really what's being asked of those of us who are feelers on the planet, is to destigmatize the depth of feeling. Mm. And just because I can feel grief to that extent doesn't mean I can't simultaneously feel hope and joy.
Mm.
And I'm all of it, right? I'm not just going to show my face outside in the world when I'm light, when I'm joyful, when I feel spring and summer. I'm also going to show up and say, it's dark in here and I'm still living, you know? And I think that's really part of it, is to just to claim and own. We are having, I think you and I probably have this similar, I feel like sometimes I have like the human experience on steroids, you know? I'm like, wow, you're just going to give me all the feelings. And it's a lot to hold. It's a lot to hold, right? And the way that we can hear and feel not just our own things, but those of all around us and the world in general. So it can feel like it pushes the limits of your capacity. Mm. And we're here to completely expand our limits and to share that experience. That's mm-hmm. what I feel, to be present with it ourselves and then to share it with one another and with the world so that people can just hear and go, oh, me too.
Yeah, because if you look perfect and it's great for you to feel amazing, and I think everyone should own their light as well, but I also think there is such power and connection in sharing that darkness, sharing your vulnerabilities with other people. I went to an event on the weekend and one person was pulled into the middle of the room because they'd expressed that they didn't know how to go into the corner and cry because they were scared they would never come back out. And then the speaker was working with this woman. And as I looked around the room, as this one woman was speaking her truth, so many of the other women had tears in their eyes and they could feel her pain. And it was so perfect for me to hear in that moment. And I thought, God, this is why, like, this is a part of the beauty of it. And Glennon Doyle Melton talks about life being brutal and beautiful. And I feel like our pain can connect us. And I'm also so open to learning how we can grow through bliss. And I don't think you're scared of the pain. And I think it's important to be open, just as open to both of them.
Well, absolutely, because I think we don't sit in the dark to wallow in the dark, right? Like, we traverse the dark to return ourselves to the light. And the more quickly, the more you learn to be with the dark or what's uncomfortable, the more time you get to, the less time it takes to traverse that space, and then you can be back in the light, right? And so it's all of it. It's both and. So you're not necessarily doing it so that you can just feel happy, and because I mean happiness is very fleeting, right? But joy is real and lasting. And I've learned as I've navigated this time, once you really surrender to it, it's really possible to feel joy, like a deep connection to the divine, to self and to source, while feeling anger, grief, pain, sadness. Joy is a current that runs through, you know, so that's the thing that would have us be crying one moment and laughing the next, you know, and that's a really common experience I find when we really start to become comfortable with the all of it, is we can toggle really quickly back and forth between, you know, I can be on the phone with a friend and saying something like, wow, I'm really in it today. And her response is like, good job. That's great news. That means you're really clearing something. And tomorrow might be an entirely different experience. Mm. And it's so often that that happens. And I've just gotten really comfortable. And this is the gift of the feminine, knowing that that doesn't mean I'm crazy. Mm. That doesn't mean I'm inconsistent. That means I'm embodying the full spectrum of life. And I'm all of it. Right. Mm. And so all of it is welcome.
Yeah, and I really want to touch on that because sometimes I feel like my stuff that comes up is, I know it's a blessing and I know where I'm going and I know why it's coming up, so it has to be released. And at the same time, sometimes I feel like it stops me from doing the work that I want to do in the world. Mm. And
yeah, babe, but it is your work.
yes, I know. Wait, I'm getting there. I hear you though. It's the only way that I've ever gotten to even do this work, you know, is being able to be with those things.
Exactly.
But from being reliable and consistent and all of those things that our society values in business, it does get in the way of that sometimes. Like, not my heart. Like, my clients get my heart all the time, and I'm also aware that sometimes I don't get like a response super quickly to emails or things like that because I'm like sitting in what's going on. And also that people like my family who aren't taking this path look at me and they say, like my mum said to me on the weekend, are you actually happier doing this work? Like, are you actually happier being spiritual? Because it feels like you get challenged a lot as well, and like you cry a lot as well. And I said to her, I also feel more joy and more alive than most people do. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Like, we should be reliable and we should be more consistently happy if we're doing such hard work. I'm sure that, like, my mum's probably just a reflection of me anyway, thinking the same thing, right? So I'm sure that people listening would have that sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's two really good things in what you just said that I feel really inspired to speak about. The first is that, yeah, being an entrepreneur and running your own business, there is a certain amount of devotion and dedication that's required. But I have two thoughts about this, because once I finally surrendered to the fact that I was in a time of learning. So I do think there are times to teach and there are times to learn. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we ever have to put things on pause. I never shut my business down. Mm-hmm. But what I did do was I said, I'm not in a creative space. I'm not in a space to be making new things.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm going to scale back. I'm not going to launch anything. I'm not going to lead any retreats. I'm not going to hold a large group in any capacity. I'm going to scale back to only one-on-one clients. And I want to open my arms to be so devoted to these one-on-one clients. And then that will be what, you know, that's like what I have. That's what I feel like I can really show up for. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to, and then they all showed up and they were all people who really benefited from me being in that experience and teaching from that experience. Because mm-hmm. of course, as we attract, all of them were in some stage of the same thing. And really I was able to hold them through that, you know? So, and I was never shy about it. I never said like, oh, I'm shiny and I have all my things handled. It was just mm-hmm. like, I know that I'm wise and I have wisdom to share. And also I'm in a challenging space in my life and my business is shifting. The way, a lot of old ways of working are falling away. So if you're signing up to work with me, you're willing to be with me as I build this plane, as I'm flying it, with all these new tools. And also, because I'm vulnerable, because I'm raw, I'm quite tapped in and you're getting the best of me because I'm not spread thin. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not launching. I'm not trying to hold a container of 100 women. I'm not, you know, writing every single week. This is where I'm showing up. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's okay to say to yourself and to your business, this is what feels true for me right now. And I'm going to create the space in my life to be in my lessons.
Mm.
And then this is what I can hold down.
Mm.
Because we create in the spring and we thrive in the summer. And then in the fall, we start to prune things away so that we, and that's what would naturally happen. Like, things start to fall away. And then in the winter, you go as dark as you get. And then you come back to life. And right now I'm back in spring. And so I've burst of creative energy. I mean, we're talking at 8 o'clock at night. I've been working since 8 this morning. I'm on fire still. I've been planning retreats in September. I'm like changing my website, writing new copy. I had 3 client sessions today. I had this, I had that, and it all is flowing.
Mm.
Whereas, and you know, it wouldn't have, I would have had to force that, but it always comes back. So I think that's the first thing I'll say. And then the second, you said, you know, are you happier? We get that question a lot, right? Because here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I always felt the level of emotion that I feel. I just feel it on the outside now so other people can see it.
Mm.
So for me, when I was not yet on this path, I was still feeling this level of emotion, but I was tending to my grief in secret with an eating disorder, mm. you know? And so was I, am I happier now? Absolutely. Because my happiness, my joy is authentic and my grief is really moving. I'm not just stuffing it down or pretending I'm feeling it or not feeling it, but medicating it or, you know, mm-hmm. sedating it in some way. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was made this way. I was always going to be on this path. So it's just whether I actually do it and show up for the work or whether I have some pill or addiction or something to rely on to sedate the stuff that I'm not outwardly feeling.
Mm.
So those in our lives who maybe aren't made quite the same way that we are, like, you just seem like you're unhappy. But the thing is, I always felt this capacity of feelings, right? Mm. I'm just now actually expressing them and moving through them.
Mm. So. Awesome. You have incredible wisdom. Thank you, Mama.
Oh, thanks, Mama.
So when you were in your time of just being with it, when you realized that you couldn't just keep yourself busy, what did just being with it actually look like for you?
I didn't really have a meditation practice, and that's like embarrassing to admit because I learned about the importance of meditation probably when I was 22, you know, so it was well over a decade ago. And I just always skipped over that part and was like, oh, my meditation is moving. I go for walks in the woods every day and I speak with nature, or like I dance and I feel my heart and that's how I meditate. And it was sort of like, no, not the same thing. You actually need to be in stillness.
Mm.
So I started to learn to sit in stillness. And I did a lot of not doing anything, going nowhere, doing nothing, sitting. And that for me was such an edge. That is not something that I do. I am an active little being on the planet. And so I'm pop all around in all the ways. And I really had to learn to sit still. And then I also, I wrote, but not for anyone else's reading. For the most part, I wrote in my journal quite a bit.
Mm.
And I spent a lot of time in nature, which nature is my greatest teacher. The earth is my greatest teacher. So I spent a lot of time every single day. I made it a priority to get into nature and just see what would come through. And sometimes it would be tears, and sometimes it would be knowing, and sometimes it would be inspiration, and sometimes it would be a deeper invitation into something. But those are my two practices, being in nature every day and sitting, learning a sitting meditation practice that I hadn't really had until that point. And then just really re-engaging with my spiritual practices, which when you're busy, you know, you usually have yours that you're pretty good about doing, but when you're busy, they're the ones that fall to the wayside that you haven't done in some time.
Mm.
And so I remembered about chanting, which I hadn't done in some time. I remembered about listening to sound healing recordings, you know, doing things that were less active practices, but that I had found along my journey and really re-engaging with those. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of sisterhood. So for me, that's one of the most healing things, is really sharing where I am and what's happening with me with the women in my life. And I have an incredible community of beings that are just, they amaze me in the ways that they meet me. So lots and lots of conversations with supportive women in my life.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. This is really good advice. Thank you, my love. Is there anything else you want to share with people who are maybe feeling like they're in their darker moments at the moment, or that you might like to share with them for when they are next in their darker moments?
Mm. Yeah, I would just close by saying the only way out is through, right? So you can't skip it. You can't bypass it, but don't be afraid to be with it. Your soul would not sign you up for anything that you don't have the capacity to handle.
Mm.
We come in knowing what we have the capacity for. So any experience that you've created or attracted in your life, you're fully resourced to handle it. It just takes the bravery to sit and turn towards and look. And so, and also just to know that you don't have to do that by yourself, right? There are so many of us who do this work in the world to hold a loving and non-judgmental space for people while they turn towards that stuff. So that's another thing I did a lot of in my experience, was work with healers and coaches and guides who could like hold me while I turn towards that stuff. So yeah, that's my advice.
And when they turn towards it, what are they looking for?
Where does it hurt? Where does it hurt? Like, what brings up emotion, right? What, when you really feel like, I don't want to feel this, or you, something provokes tears, or something, you have just an extraordinary resistance to looking at something. That's where the nugget is, right? It's like our triggers, the things or places where we get triggered, they're hurtful to us. Those are the portals to our freedom. So look at where it hurts.
And in my experience, once you get to that other side, like as soon as you look at it and you see what it is that you were afraid to look at, you're like, oh, that. It's such a feeling of relief and empowerment afterwards, just when we've had the courage to look.
Totally. It can clear really quick and you're like, oh. Yeah, the sigh of relief.
Yeah. Thank you, my love. So how can people find out more about you and connect with you?
My website is just my name, jinnymuir.com. So that's jinnymuir.com. And as I was mentioning, when I was sort of dissolving, I wasn't as active there, but I'm in this moment of updating my website and going to be blogging more regularly there. What I've been doing for the past year is more writing on Instagram. That's just been my easy platform where I can feel really connected to my heart. And so it's just my name, Jinny Muir, on Instagram. And I'm Jinny Muir on Facebook also. And those two places have been, in the interim, as I've sort of been changing and growing, where I've kind of mapped that journey for myself, just in images and shares as they come through. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you. And Jenny's going to stick around to do a secret episode with me. These are new. Jenny's the first time that we get to do this. And we're going to go behind the scenes into Jenny's life. She's shared so much wisdom, but I want to know, like, what does she eat for breakfast? What are her morning rituals? All of that sort of juicy, how do you get to be where you are and live the life that you live kind of stuff. So if you want to be involved and listen to that episode, that secret episode, then go to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret and you can come and find us there. Thank you again so much, Jenny. And to everyone listening, like, just know that there are people like us who are loving you through these times. And even if you've never met us, even if you can't feel it right now, like, there are so many people holding love and space for you. Myself included. So if you want to reach out, please do reach out to Jenny. Just know that there's love there that doesn't ever leave you. Like, the sun rises the next day, no matter what. And that's the kind of love that you have all the time. And you can head to facebook.com/groups/lightworkersrising. And I'll add Jenny in there as well, so that we can all have a conversation about, what did you get out of this podcast? Let's talk about what are our dark nights of the soul and maybe ask some questions about that. Jenny, what would you like to hear from them?
Oh, wow. What's my favorite to know is when people just get a little nugget or a little something just lands in their heart as a resonant, a match to something that lives inside there, or wakes something up or gives them permission to be who they are and feel how they're feeling. So I would just love to hear if there were any moments and anything that I shared that really landed for you in that way. It would delight me to know that.
So many for me, so I'm sure that there will be others. Thank you so much. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please go on to iTunes and give it a 5-star review so that more people can know how awesome people like Jenny are that I get to interview. And if this has helped you, please share it so that other people get to have that experience of just feeling held in this moment as well. Thank you so much. And head to aninspiredlife.com.au/secret so that you can hear what Jenny eats for breakfast. Oh, that sounded a bit dirty.
I love it.
Oh, bye, everyone.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.